Well, let me encourage you to turn, if you have your Bible, to this little section of the Sermon on the Mount that we have come to this morning. I wonder, did any of you do this, what I'm about to describe? Maybe with a brother or a sister or a friend in the back of a car, a journey in the dark nights of December. You count on your side, and I'll count on mine, and see who gets the most. Can you guess what I'm referring to? Maybe that was just one of those things they did up in County Antrim. Maybe you wise people of Mourne would never have done such a thing. Looking out for Christmas trees as you sailed through the country and counting the number on your side as opposed to the number on your brother's side and hoping that you will get the most. Well, there you are. If you've never done that, there's an education for you. I remember doing that with my sister, and it was a very enjoyable thing indeed. So there you are. Looking for the lights on the tree, shining brightly on a cold, dark winter night. And that's maybe an appropriate introduction to our theme today. Jesus said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." And here in this Sermon on the Mount, as we've already noticed, Jesus picks up on things that he would have remembered as a little boy. Sometimes we don't always think of Jesus as a little boy. Think of Jesus as a little toddler. Think of Jesus as a 7-year-old, as a 10-year-old, as a 12-year-old. And Jesus, no doubt, would have seen very often his mummy and maybe his dad using the salt, but also taking the light and lighting the lamp and setting it in the little house in which they would have lived, which, if it was typical of other houses in first century Judea, didn't have a whole lot of windows in it. It may only have had one little window, one little circular window, and it really needed the light. Jesus has already spoken these Beatitudes, this is what you are, and Jesus now speaks, this is what you are to be. So this is what you are, this is what you're to be. You're to be an influence, you're to be a salting influence, preserving and seasoning and flavoring for the good. And today, you're to be an enlightening influence. So as we think of this theme, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Again, think about this, folks. By implication, Jesus is saying something about the world in which we live. He's actually making a statement about the society in which his followers will be living. He's saying it's not a place of light. It's a place of darkness, and it's a place of shadows. I think of a recent radio program that I heard part of it. People were talking about the state of the country. And there was a sense, certainly from some, not from everyone, there was a sense that the country, that society has really lost its bearings. It's kind of adrift. There's no anchor. Everything seems to be changing. Where's the moral compass? Where's the spiritual light that's shining? People seem to be in a drift, in a sea of materialism and just unbelief and all kinds of stuff. And many, many people are confused. Many, many people are lost. Many, many people just are looking for some way. And Jesus says, "You are the light." So, folks, this is a very, very important theme this morning. This is really of great importance. So if you're thinking of drifting off, don't. This is really important. You are the light of the world. Let me say just a few things in the time that I have about this. And the first thing I would say, just a reflecting light. Jesus, now let's take a step back, and I started the service with this. Jesus stood up on one occasion in the midst of the crowd. It was actually a very special occasion for the Jewish people, and they had had a very special festival which involved the lighting of literally very large lights. And it was to remind them of how way back centuries before, God had gone before them and led the way. And in the midst of that situation, Jesus stands up, and you can imagine this. Jesus stands up and he says, folks, I've something to say to you. I am the light of the world. And if any man follow me, he will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is supremely the light. And when we're talking here from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you're the light. It's simply a reflected light. It's a borrowed light. Just as on some clear night, you look up and you see, and we speak of this, we see the moon shining brightly. Well, of course, the moon is not shining of its own accord. It's just reflecting the light that's coming from the sun. And the sun, the light from the sun, is bouncing off the moon and coming to us. And just in exactly the same way, we are to reflect the light that comes not from the star that's in the sky that we call the sun, but we're to reflect the light from another sun, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. And whenever a man or a woman or a young person come to trust in Jesus, that's what a Christian is. That's what becoming a Christian is. Remember that. It's not just about trying our best at all. It's about coming decisively to receive Jesus into our hearts. And whenever we receive Jesus into our hearts and into our lives, as we repent and believe the gospel, Jesus comes and he brings his light with us. And that's how we become light. That's how Jesus can say to us, you're now the light, because I'm living within you. Tell me this morning, have you got that light? Have you asked Christ to be your light? Have you received Jesus personally into your heart? You'll not shine for Jesus if you've never done that. You'll never shine for Jesus if you haven't received him personally into your own heart. Young person, is that a word for you this morning? You know what you need to do. You need to take that step. So just having it up here needs to be in here. So it's a reflecting light. But the second thing I would say is that this light, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. It's a guiding light. Now, we can all understand this principle. Last week was our 73rd harvest of the sea, and we were blessed with a real sense of God's help, and it was a very encouraging day. And if I can maybe use another symbol from the sea to illustrate this, you don't have to go too far where you would find maybe a beacon light which has been placed in a particular place to guide the boats, to guide the ships into harbour, to guide them away from dangerous rocks and reefs and quicksands or whatever it is. Brother and sister in Christ, let your light shine. Allow your testimony and your life to be a guiding light to other people. You might be surprised at the number of people who will never ever say to you, but actually they are looking to you every single day, and they're watching you. Now, they'll not come up and say, I'm watching you, but they are. They know you're a church-going person, and there's almost a sense maybe of expectation of something different. To ask let me ask you this morning, are you a guiding light through your life, through the words that you say, through the kind of language you use, through the stuff that you laugh at and don't laugh at, just the way that you treat people? Are you a guiding light pointing to a better way? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. But I want to focus on a couple of other things here. I want to just draw your attention to this. A light is also a warning light. Now, this is a very obvious thing. You think of a light. You maybe go out with a light at night, and a light will warn of the dangers of the dark. And Christians are also to warn of the dangers of the darkness, the dangers of spiritual darkness, the dangers of rejecting God and stepping into eternity without God. Now, there's the bulk of people in our land today never think about that. In fact, they obviously don't really believe that there's any danger at all. You're here for a season and you're gone and that's it. But Christians, we who profess Jesus believe that there is more than just this world. There is a world to come. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a judgment. There is a day of accounting. When we stand before God, the Bible says every man, every woman will give an account of themselves to God. And we have to look to the Lord for opportunity to maybe remind people of that. People who maybe have no thought whatsoever for the gospel, no thought for God. And maybe sometimes we do have to be like the warning light and say something. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that one day you'll stand before God? Do you believe, do you realize that the Bible says that one day you will give an account for your life? How are you going to deal with that? And when you say that kind of stuff, you're like the warning light. You're actually warning that there's something ahead that a person needs to be really careful about. There's danger ahead. Or maybe on a completely different tack. Maybe it's speaking to young people or older people who maybe are playing around with things that they should never be playing around with. The danger of drugs and the awful abuse of alcohol and just all that goes along with that. And maybe at times we need to be more definite in saying to young people, look, there are dangers here. Real dangers. This is not all it's cut out to be. So let's pluck up courage and pray for wisdom to say the right thing at the right time. Like, you are the light of the world, Jesus says. If we don't speak, if we don't show the way, if we don't speak a word of warning and a word of guidance, then who is actually? Who is? I don't think anybody else. Brother and sister, through the light of your testimony, in life and in word, you can be a warning light to others. There's a lesson here, I think, for all who find themselves in some kind of leadership. I don't know if you have ever heard the name of a lady called Florence Allshorn. She was born in 1887 and she died in 1950. She was a missionary with the Anglican Church, and she trained missionaries who went to Africa and maybe some other places. And it was said of Florence, and I quote, that if ever she had to rebuke her students, she did it with her arm around about them. If our warnings are given not in anger or in irritation or criticism or condemnation, nor in the desire to hurt, but in love, they will be effective. So when I'm speaking here about being the warning light, it doesn't have to all be in a condemning way. You can actually in life, and I'm sure you've discovered this, it's not always just what you say, it's how you say it. And sometimes in life, when you get alongside people and out of genuine love and concern, not just to lambast them, not to criticize them, not just to launch out against them, but if they sense that you actually care for them, and you love them with a Christian love, then that actually can achieve far more than you might even begin to realize. And in that sense, you can also be a warning light, but all done in love. But the other thing I want to say here is that, of course, a shining light. Jesus says, and notice what the text says, if you've got your Bible. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, you see it. It's there. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify or praise your Father in heaven. Now, here's a very obvious point. A light needs to be seen. That's pretty obvious. A light needs to be seen. It needs to be shining. Where does a light shine? It shines in the shadows. It shines in the darkness. I don't know if Jesus had these people in his mind, but just an interesting little bit on some of the young folk you may have learned about some of these people in your religion classes at school, maybe. In Jesus' day, literally whenever Jesus was there, there was a community of people who had set up their little community on the western shore of the Dead Sea. And they were called the Essene community. They had decided that life and the world was too wicked and too dark, and they were going to withdraw. And they withdrew, and they went and they lived on the western shores of the Dead Sea. Now, they called themselves the Sons of Light, but here's the problem. They kept themselves to themselves. They became a kind of little ghetto, if you know that word, a little subculture, and they didn't really interact. They didn't let their light shine where it was needed to be shining, in the darkness. They went away and hid. That's not what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As I've said before, folks, our Christianity ought to be seen in the way that we live our lives. No Sunday-only Christianity. No secret discipleship. Let your light shine. This is a word for some today, I'm sure. And maybe it's a word for someone here this morning, and maybe a word of rebuke, because you are not actually letting your light shine. You know that recent situation to which I'm referring, when you actually put the light under the bowl. You didn't let the light shine, and the situation deteriorated into darkness. You did not glorify your Father in heaven. Let me put it very practically here in the following way. Our Christianity ought to be seen in the way that you treat your spouse, in the way that you treat your employee, in the way that you do your job, in the way that you treat the shop assistant at the till, in the way that you order a meal on the night out, in the way that you work together in your church organization, in the way that you respect your leaders, in the way that you park your car, in the way that you play your sport, in the way that you use your time, and the stuff that you look at on the television or on the web. You see, Jesus says, let your light shine so that others will see and glorify your Heavenly Father. How are we going to influence a skeptical world? As I said last Sunday morning, how are we going to influence a world that doesn't even seem to believe this stuff any longer? I'll tell you how. By letting your light shine every single day so that other people will see that your Christianity and my Christianity is not just for an hour on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. You see, a Christian is different and is meant to make a difference. If you're not any different from anyone else, then you'll make no difference whatsoever. If you are just exactly the same as all of your friends who have no time for church, then you'll make no impact whatsoever. But if by God's grace you begin to allow the light to shine, then things will change. As I asked before, as I draw this to an end, to use these pictures of salt and light, if society around us continues to rot, there's no sense just blaming society. Where is the salt? If the house is in darkness, it's no use just blaming the house. Where's the light? Where's the light? So again, I quote those words of the late John Stott. So why don't we Christians have a more wholesome effect on our society? The gospel changes people, folks. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing here. And when Jesus Christ comes into the heart of a young person, the heart of a woman, the heart of a man, then they begin to change. Otherwise, there's no conversion there at all. If there's no change, if there's no difference of a person, well, then it's all a bit of a farce. But the gospel does change people. And that's why in a moment or two, we will be singing that lovely little hymn, which we learned a few years ago. And in fact, we didn't really learn it a few years ago, because I know for a fact that the time Ian McNee was here, he was teaching the young people it. So it's not really a new one at all. Light to the world, O light of man, kindle in us a mighty flame, till every heart consumed by love shall rise to praise your holy name. We're called to shine. So brother and sister in Christ, let me finish with this, and maybe we should have been singing this one, but let me quote it anyway. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so let us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine. Then for all around, many kinds of darkness in this world are found. Sin and want and sorrow. So we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. And folks, the lovely thing is this, that if every single one of us went from this place this morning by the grace of God and shone in your corner as I shine in mine, that would be a whole lot of wee lights shining, pointing to Jesus, living for Jesus, reflecting the light, a guiding light, a warning light, and shining that God might be glorified. May God help us. in all of these things. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to shine in each of our corners for Jesus Christ, that our Heavenly Father might be given the praise and the glory. We ask in his name. Amen.